Welcome to another inspiring Sister's Message. We hope you are blessed by this ministry.
On Father's Day, if you were here in the evening, my husband called our daughter who did the offering today. He called her up to come and receive the offering, and then he said, she's single. But anyone who wants to date her has to do a polygraph test. And then I thought, oh my word, okay, well there it goes. I mean, in one breath, it's like she's available, but you guys are not even going to make it, so, because you need to have a polygraph test. Well, you see, the thing is, Pastor Andre watched a movie on Netflix called Dirty John. And because of this movie, he is now, every man has to have a polygraph test for every girl in this church. But we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. So Dirty John was the nickname of a man called John Meehan, who pretended to be someone that he wasn't. He lied about his life. He lied about being a doctor. He lied about practically everything. And he came as an angel of light, but he was actually an angel of death. A beautiful, smart, successful, and wealthy Christian lady named Deborah Newell fell head over heels in love with him and married him in a very, very short space of time. How did she meet him? Online, okay? That's what Pastor Vilma wants to prevent with the beautiful girls of this house. You're better than that. And there will be a man to find you. You know, the word says to the man, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. We don't go running. We don't go hunting for a man. Amen? They come looking for us. And in this house, that's what they got to do. Even though we're going to create a forum, we're going to do something whereby he has to find you. You got to be available. You got to be seen. You can't be hiding somewhere in some little back room here. You got to be available and you got to be seen. But let's get back to the story. So, even though he was an unbeliever, she married him in about 8 weeks. And she overlooked the red flags. There were red flags. She overlooked the flaws. But her two daughters, Veronica and Tara, could not do that. You see, for some other reason, they saw right through this man. Well, finally, when Deborah came to her senses, because you need to go and watch the movie because it's just too long, and there's some spoilers coming in the very few next sentence that I'm going to speak. So when Deborah came to her senses and left him, he stole and burnt her car, which I think was a Jaguar, like a really beautiful 2015, brand new, out-of-the-box, convertible Jaguar. And he made threats. And then finally he decided he was going to kill Tara, the youngest girl, the youngest dainty, petite little girl who was the most outspoken and the most against this relationship. And so what happened was, a fight ensued on a car park roof where Tara kicked the knife out of his hand. So he comes, he's a big bloke, he's over 6 foot, and he comes from behind with a knife in his hand, and he stabs her a couple of times, very surface stabs, stab wounds. But she, you know, when I watch this, forgive me for a moment here. Sorry. I'm not a violent person. Not at all. I have those urges rise up in me sometimes when Pastor Andre drives me completely off my head. But let me tell you, I actually felt in this movie the presence of God was with Tara. It was amazing. She wore a pair of wellies. Now, apparently wellies are very good for kicking someone in the butt. And so it gave, because she's so petite and so small, and she kicked the knife out of his hand. And she was on the ground. And you watch this, and the knife lands like this next to her right hand, and she grabs the knife. and she holds it in a position, and as he comes towards her, she mungs him 13 times, 13 times. Anyway, sorry, this murderous thing has come over me from this movie. But you have to watch it to see how he got his just desserts. It was either him or her. Who does he think he is? Who did he think he was to come against a little girl? You know, she was, I call her a little girl, but she was a young lady. Anyway, the question all the time was, how come the young girls could see through this man? But their mother could not. How come? And how come the girl's warnings were just ignored and pushed aside? It is because she lacked something that none of us should lack, and it's called discernment. And I want to speak tonight on a message entitled, Sharpen Your Discernment. Amen? It's part of the armor, although it's not mentioned in Ephesians 6, it's part of what God wants us to do. You know where it speaks about the helmet of salvation? It's this thing that you put on your head. It's something you put over your thinking. It's got to do with this part of you, right? And it's got to do with your eyes. It's got to do with your ears. And part of discernment, I haven't got the whole meaning of it, but discernment is described like this. It's a sensitivity. That's what you need. You've got to have a sensitivity when you're weighing things up. You've got to have wisdom. You've got to have understanding. You've got to have recognition. Recognition because you will see something that you may have seen before in another way, and you've got to, hey, once bitten, twice shy. No, you may have caught me once, but you ain't going to caught me a second time. Amen? Discernment is to consider diligently. You know what? If Deborah had just considered diligently, she had previous marriages. Do you know what I'm saying? She needed a bit more time. She needed some things to present itself before she went ahead. And to give heed. Giving heed is part of what the Bible teaches us to have when it comes to discernment. You know what discernment is like? It's like there's a path you have to go on, but you have to choose which path it is. They're not three, they're not four, they're two. And the choice you make will be the outcome of whether it's a healthy decision, a healthy choice, or an unhealthy choice. The outcome will tell you this was the best decision I made, or this was the worst decision that I have ever made. You know, when it comes to Deborah Newell, all she could see was this handsome doctor who wasn't even a doctor. And she was blinded. She says, I was blinded by love. Here again, girls, we can't be blinded by anything. We can't be hoodwinked, not in business, not in love, not in anything. We cannot be hoodwinked. Now, I don't want to be hard on Deborah because I have not walked in her shoes. And, you know, but in hindsight, she herself recognized her lack of discernment. If you listen to her, her passion today is to help women like herself, women who are caught in a trap, women who are caught in a difficult situation. She counsels women. That has become her passion in life because of what she's been through. So, you know, let me also say that if a spouse breaks vows and do the opposite of what they promised they would do, it's not your fault. Amen? It's like this is not to point a finger at anyone who's divorced or has been through a terrible breakup. You know, there are two sides. We know that. But honestly, it's not your fault if you are the innocent spouse who kept your vows, held on to what you said you were going to do before God and other witnesses, and your spouse is the one that's philandering or moving on or doing what he's doing. So I just want to say this, okay? I don't want you to feel that I'm picking on you tonight, because I'm certainly, my daughter was married for 6 years. She's been divorced for 3 years. She's been single for been separated for a year before she got divorced. So I'm speaking from a place that I've walked through with my own child. Amen? And so I'm not picking on anyone here tonight. I just want you to be aware. And I'll get to my point in a moment. We can all make wrong calls. I've made wrong calls. And, you know, but we learn from those calls. You know what I love about C.S. Lewis is this amazing quote. You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. Isn't that just the same of all of us in our whole walk, in our salvation? We can't go back to, wow, I wish I never did that. I wish I never did that. And the Lord says, you know what? I forgive you. Confess it. I forgive you. Your slate is clean. You can't go back and undo all of that, but you can stand before me right now and you can change the ending. Amen. And we can ask God to help us. Lord, give me discernment. Lord, help me to choose, to make, this is a difficult thing that I've got to do. I've got to take a path and I don't know which one to take, right? That's why King David in Psalm 119, we think it's King David because I'm a stickler for who wrote what. And so if you're just wondering, if you're doing your 1 year, we've done it now a few weeks ago, Psalm 119. The way that that psalm was written is in an acrostic form. It's his style. It speaks like him. Okay, so let me just qualify that. Psalm 119 verse 125, give discernment to me, your servant, then I will understand your laws. I've got a thought this evening. Discernment will help us make better decisions. That's why we need it. Learn to discern so that your decisions and the outcome of your decisions can have a better outcome than if you had just rushed into something. You know, we've got to learn to pause. As I always say, pause. Sila, think about it. Give me a day. Give me 2 days. Give me a week. Give me a month. This is a big decision. I can't just rush into it. Oh, I just had a whole lot of lovely food and I ate a beautiful chocolate mousse and I had a glass of red wine. Oh, what the heck? Let's just go and let's just elope. Let's just do it. No. No, give me 6 months. Amen? To think about this thing. So discernment will help us, firstly, who to marry. Let's stay with this one. I just want to say this. I have been married for 46 years. I've been a Christian for 45 years. I've been in church all of my life from that point onwards. And I have never seen a successful or happy marriage where the couple is unequally yoked. I'm not going to soften this. I'm not going to say, oh, but you know, yes, amen. Maybe you can be like a missionary, you know, to this man, and you can date this missionary person. You can date this unsaved man, and you can save him. Well, Jesus won't even be able to save him if he doesn't open his heart to Jesus. I've seen enough women bring guys to church who put their hands up with no conversion. They marry the guy and they have a terrible marriage because he pretended. Discernment, girls, who to marry. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not come in close association with unbelievers like oxen yoked with asses. That's not my words. That's the word of God. For what is there in common between righteousness and lawlessness? Or what partnership has light with darkness? You see, you can use an ass separately to plow, and you can use oxen separately to plow, but you cannot put the two together. Because the field is going to be ruined. The field of your marriage, the field of what you want to base your future on, is going to be skewed. and weird, and it's not going to produce the necessary outcome and fruit. Amen? One animal is clean. The other animal is unclean. They eat different things. What do I mean by that? Spiritually speaking, the diet is different. We both, our diet is in God's word. We drink from the well of the water of the word. We eat the meat of the word. Amen? But what happens is when you are unequally yoked with an unbeliever, and I'm talking about people who are still considering this right now, right now. One will be feeding from the word, and the other one will be feeding from the world. And the two cannot walk together in agreement. You're not going to agree on how to raise your children. You're not going to agree on how to spend your money. He's not going to be happy that you put God first and that you're going to tithe. They're just ripping you off at that church and they're just stealing your money. That's what he's going to say. And I just want to encourage you, who to marry, you need discernment, all right? So what to do when you want to marry a man who does not serve Jesus? The Bible says no. Not Pastor Vilma, the pastoral team, Pastor Derek, Pastor Carolyn, Pastor Nick, and Raitha, and Reshma, they're all against me. They're saying no. No, we're just saying what we believe the Word of God is saying. What He said to us is no, and so what we're saying to you is also no. Amen? What to do if you are already married to a man who does not serve Jesus? So, you know, Pastor Andre and I, I'm going to run out of time. We got saved on the same evening, on a Saturday night, in Cape Town at St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, rented by the Assemblies of God. And for the first 3 years, I went ahead, spiritually speaking. And then someone came to me once and said, oh, you know what, I had a dream, and you know, Andre caught up to you, spiritually speaking, because I was at Bible study, I was at prayer meeting, he was still doing stuff. Like, you know, the stuff they're now legalizing in South Africa. That's the stuff he was doing, hiding it under the pram, the baby's pram. And so I felt very much like a woman married to an unbeliever who's unequally yoked with me because, they've got this thing on that church. Now you go. Until he saw there was this guy hanging around me one night. Because I got into trouble for nothing because I was just serving Jesus and I was at church. I don't quite know at which point that he snapped out of it, but he snapped out of it and he overtook me spiritually. He's my pastor now. So what to do if you're already married to a man who does not serve Jesus? The Bible gives very, very good advice. Let your love and your good works win them over. Not your preaching. Not your preaching. It says in 1 Corinthians 7:16, you never know, wife, the way you handle this might bring your husband not only back to you, but to God. Look, he might not have left you, but you'll bring him back to you. You'll connect with him again. You don't know. You don't know. Amen? So, you just do what the Word of God says. Your kindness, your sweet and gentle spirit, your good works, not your arguments, not your preaching, you're going to go to hell, come to church, put your hand up, get saved. None of that. Okay. Where to live? You need discernment. Think about a job transfer. That sounds so amazing. This must be God. But then you find out there's no church in the immediate area. And you find out even in this country, the church has to be underground. What to do? Well, you have a choice. Do you want your children miserable because there's no church for them? You want them to grow up without Jesus? Because you will backslide eventually. I wouldn't be strong without being in God's house. I wouldn't be as strong as I am. And being, sitting, hearing, the faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God, I wouldn't be as committed. I'll slack off. And so you have to weigh all of those things up. Discernment will tell you that your spiritual well-being and the spiritual shaping of your children is more vital than material gain. Thirdly, how to raise children. You know, we have to train our children in a way that they should go. We cannot, you know, it's like we can't leave them to themselves. Today, I listened to a clip on ENCA where the Chief Justice, Mogoeng, was saying that people, discipline your children, train your children. Don't let television train them. Don't let social media train them. Don't let them out on the streets where their friends will train them. Then when they grow up, you are shocked at how they turned out. You're the one that needs to shape your children. Amen. And can I just remind you, if you're divorced and you share custody, work with their father for the sake of them. Model something for them about how it is that you should behave as godly men and women. Amen? And I remember when Rebecca Manyuki was sharing a few years ago at Sisters of Africa conference, and she was speaking about the relationship she has with her ex-husband and how the children are so well-rounded because of it. And that's what I want to encourage you. It's nope, you know, this bickering and this fighting, it just leaves them insecure. It leaves them feeling like they've got no self-esteem. If you want to buoy them up, show them what forgiveness looks like. Show them what love looks like, not just in word, but in deed as well. Amen. Next, what school or university to attend? It's a costly exercise, and you need discernment. Let me pray and do my homework and see the values of this institution. What will they teach? Will it line up with my values? I'm a Christian. I can't go where the people are mocking me or mocking my God. Amen. And then you decide. Decide on next how to spend or not spend your money. Be a good steward over your finances. Ask for discernment in this area. Debt can be controlled. Now, we all have maybe bonds, and there are certain debts that we can't avoid because none of us can walk in and buy a car cash or a house cash. None, I don't know. Maybe you can. We can't. So, you know, you choose your debt. Don't add now. The Prada and the Louis Vuitton and the this and the that. And make some sacrifices. Say no to something every day. It makes you feel like you are strong. It makes you feel like you are in control of your life. Amen. With the help of God. Who to employ? That's a tough one. Don't just employ, oh, you look so cute. No, and I think you've got a beautiful smile and you know, and you dress so lovely, you will represent us well. No, this is very important. Look up references. Follow up references. Take them on a part-time basis. Test and see what their attitude is like in 3 months' time. Amen? And then lastly, who should we hang out with? Who should we hang out with? People who use the Lord's name in vain, people who don't have our values, people who mock the church. I can't sit and enjoy myself in company like that. I don't know about you. So be very careful who you hang out with. Be with people who are like-minded, like-spirited, people who love God and people who, we're not all perfect. We're all on a journey. Some people have been saved for 20 years. Some have been saved for 20 months. But you can get together. And you can encourage one another. And you can fellowship together. Amen? Because you are of the same spirit. You are of the body of Christ. Amen? And I'm not saying never mix with unsaved people. There are people that you may want to reach. And so hang out with them. But as long as they don't tear you down and drag you down and take you away from your affection for God, let no one do that to you. So three quick ways to sharpen your discernment. First of all, experience sharpens discernment. I remember on our first trip to Malaysia, I bought perfumes on the street at the markets, believing they were the Royal Real McCoy. Chanel number 5, and I'll buy this one for so-and-so, and I'll buy this Dior for so-and-so, thinking it was the real thing. You know what? If it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. It isn't true. Amen? And so that happened to me only exactly once, because there are very strict controls I've discovered around suppliers with perfumes and skin and hair products, cosmetics. There are very strict controls all over the world. And then when we were in business, we ran a footwear manufacturer in Boston. Andre was a footwear manufacturer. He could make even clothes with leather. He did all kinds of things, bags, belts. It never had the stamp Louis Vuitton on it, but it had Redemption on it. And it still exists today. But I remember a guy coming in with the finest samples of leather. I don't know if you remember that. And he had, and Andre was like, wow, this is the best napper I've seen and feel this and all of that. He asked for a deposit, which was paid, and we never saw the guy again. So even in business, people will rip you off. They'll say, don't you trust me? I'll say, sorry, I don't even know you. That's just the bottom line. If I were in business today, I'd say, I don't even know you, so I cannot trust you. I need to have a relationship with you before I can trust you. And so experience will teach you to discern. Hang on a minute, this doesn't sound right. This sounds too good to be true, and it's not going to be right. Amen? And so we've all made mistakes, and sometimes experience will lead us to a place where we have broken hearts, where we need healing, and God will heal us. Amen. But we will learn from those mistakes. You know, even King David lacked discernment when he took Bathsheba. He was oblivious of what he was doing. A man after God's own heart. He had Uriah killed. He had the Amorites kill Uriah. Look what God says to him in 2 Samuel 12, verse 9 and 10. It says, the Lord is speaking, why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? Well, he's speaking through Nathan the prophet. You struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. You see, what we learn from this is experience will teach you discernment. And that is what David had to learn. Even he made the worst possible mistake of his life. By the way, just listen to a few things slightly off the point here. There are always consequences. We can't just go and do things and say, Lord, I apologize for making this decision. He was never off the hook. These consequences were enormous, right? They really were. Admitting sin doesn't make everything hunky-dory the way it was. Things are going to be exactly the way they were before. No, there are going to be consequences. Families are going to be hurt, right? Even you are going to be hurt, and you're going to live with regret. So willfully sinning and apologize, it's not good enough for God. He is the God of grace, but we are not off the hook. We still have to repent. He's the God of grace. We have to live with the consequences. Sorry, girls, but that is what I learned from this story. No wonder, again, Psalm 119, 125, he cried out, give me discernment. Amen? Your servant, then I will understand your laws. On the positive side, you also learn discernment about good things. The good things that he learned discernment about was he discovered he could kill a lion. He discovered he could kill a bear. And then he realized, I'm going to mung this giant. I'm going to kill this giant because experience has taught me to discern. Amen. And then, let me not go too fast now. Secondly, godly counsel sharpens discernment. The first counselor that we have as a believer is Jesus. It says in Isaiah 9 that for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And just by the way, when Jesus departed, he said, I will give you another helper, a counselor, the Holy Spirit. Amen? We are never alone. We're never in a place where we like can't make decisions. Amen? But the Lord uses people. He will use people. He will use human beings. He'll use the body of Christ. Amen. And this is what Proverbs 11:14 says, where no wise guidance is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So it's important, even here with discernment, ask a few godly people. Don't go looking for people who are going to agree with you. Don't go for counseling to pals who are going to say, who are they to tell you what to do? You just do what, if it feels good, if it feels right, you do it. No, counseling is not about someone's opinion. We're not looking for, if you're looking for opinions, then ask anybody. If you're looking for the counsel of God, ask godly, mature people. Amen. And this verse carries a hidden responsibility for us. You know, the responsibility is choose who will give you your godly counsel. Don't go from church to church to church until someone says, well, if you want to live with your boyfriend, I suppose it will be okay. That's why at the beginning I said it's time to take responsibility. Take responsibility for your own life. Don't look for others so that you can point the finger when you stand before the Lord one day. And he says, what about that time when you looked for godly counsel and then you got someone to agree with you in your sin? What about, yes, it's their fault, Lord, they were the ones. No, it's your fault. You were looking for the wrong kind of counsel, amen? Godly counsel is spiritually discerned because most people think in the natural. Have you noticed? Just find a whole lot of people, even in your Christian world, and they'll speak just like the world if you're not careful. So be careful who you hang with, be careful who gives you counsel, who speaks into your life. And can I say, you'll get counsel, but the choice is still yours. Who to marry, where to live, what university to go to, how to spend your money. You have that personal relationship with God, amen, and you decide what you want to do with your life. You know, what I've discovered with God, you can do whatever you like. You can do what you like, but then you're not his child. If you want to be his child, you surrender your life, you get on the altar, you die to sin, you die to self, and you say, not my will, but your will be done. Amen? Always remember, discernment will keep you from disaster. That is why God wants you to have it. To have a life that is abundant, successful, not perfect, but not a disastrous outcome for every decision that you make. Third and last one, the Word of God sharpens discernment. You see, the Word of God is the basis for all discernment. Proverbs 7, verses 1 to 4. My son, my daughter, remember what I say and treasure my commands. Obey my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as you would your own eyes. Remind yourself of them. Write them on your heart as if on a tablet. Today it's quite easy. We've got tablets. We have tablets. Treat wisdom as a sister and make understanding your closest friend. Amen? We learn about God's character and his values from the Bible. And then we line up our lives with him. There's no argument with him. But Lord, it's 2019. So what? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? He knows best. And this is not popular today. But never forget, your eternal destiny is at stake when you begin to side with the world against God. So if people come to this church and they say, we want this church to get in line with the narrative of 2019 and what everybody in the world is saying, they'll have to close us down because we will not bow to this world and to the God of this world. We will not. We will bow to the God of heaven and his word and his truth, because what he says goes and it stands forever and forever and forever. Amen. At times we cannot discern certain situations before us, and that is when we can open the word of God, read it, and find your answer. You know, I love the book of Proverbs. I love the word, full stop. I'm beginning to warm up to Job, but that's for another time. You know, the book of Proverbs, it's a book that defines the behavior and character of men and women. If someone is acting a certain way, open the book of Proverbs and read what it says about that type of behavior. It speaks about virtuous women, frugal and careful people, liberal people, the sluggard, the diligent, the furious, the wise, and wise behavior, foolish behavior, and all there is and the outcome of such behavior. Isn't that amazing? We see it all. It's in the Word of God, and it's in the book of Proverbs. What sets people apart? What sets people apart in this world? Discerning to do what is right, what is good, and what pleases God. That is what sets people apart. Amen? When the Word of God is inside of you, if it's in your heart, the Holy Spirit will cause it to come to your consciousness when you need it. That is why you've got, you know what my husband always says, you've got, in ministry, you've got to have your seed bag full. So that when you are called upon to do anything, some encouragement, some counseling, some ministry, whatever, pull it out of your seed bag. I want to say you don't only just need to be in ministry, have your seed bag full. Amen? Of the seed, the bread of life, have it there for yourself, for when you need it. Lord, what must I do? Amen? The Lord says, this is the way you walked in. Amen? This is the way you should walk in it. He'll bring verses to your mind. He will remind you of things. Your seed bag needs to be full with the Word of God, not just on a Sunday when you come to church, okay? That is the power of the Word of God. It is a discerner. It is a discerner. Hebrews 4:12, and I'll be closing. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In closing, when we sharpen our discernment, we will live at a different level. We will have a sense that God is pleased with us. Why will we have that sense? Because we want to please Him. When we want to please Him, we will have a sense that He's pleased with us, because it's a two-way street. It's a personal relationship that we have with the Lord. I hope that has helped you tonight as we come to a close. Something that I forgot to mention under the godly counsel is you don't need to be behind closed doors, you and one other person or two other people. Counsel happens right here, like tonight. Sitting under the Word of God is your counsel, especially when the Word of God is preached, amen? Because truth goes forth and it counsels you in your soul and in your spirit.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed and inspired by this ministry.